break. Back from the break. Okay. All right. Next item, first item under new business, P16-106, consider a preliminary plat for 144.18 acres of land in Bell County, Texas, out of the H.R. Morrell Survey. Abstract number 579, Lucy Odell Survey. Abstract number 644, and the J.T.W.J. Hallmark Survey. Abstract number 413, and also being a portion of the tract described as 490.1 acres in a deed to James Dennis McGill dated May 23rd, 1972, and recorded in volume 1177, page 145 of the Bell County Deed Records, and laying east of FM 3481, and further described as property ID number 433992 and property ID number 67413. Okay, Mr. Molise.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. As you indicated, the applicant is requesting preliminary plat approval for 144.18 acres of land east of FM 3481, also called Steelhouse Lake Road, and along the western side of Cedar Knob, and again, is shown on the map in front of you. The property is directly opposite the Tuscany Meadows 1 subdivision and is actually phase 2 of that same development. In the nearby area is the, of course, the Walmart neighborhood store and the high school. There's a Catholic church, and just immediately to the south and adjacent to this property is the Steelhouse Flats apartment complex that's being constructed right now. And that apartment complex is right here. This is the current location of the property. As you can see, there are rezoning signs on the property. I need to give a little bit of an explanation for this. The property as it currently sits is zoned PDR, which means Planned Development Residential. This body heard about a year ago, and I think I actually put the date in the staff report, sorry. This body heard a case for the rezoning of this property, and what they did is they met with the city, and we agreed to some conditions that altered the R1 zoning requirements slightly so that they could meet the needs of their builders for the property. And so in summary, there were some conditions that were attached that I've attached in this staff report, that basically we allowed for slightly smaller lot sizes down to 7,800 square feet, but the average lot size for the entire subdivision is still 8,400 square feet. But they were also going to put a masonry fence along Steelhouse Lake Road. So going back there, there's gonna actually be a masonry fence on this stretch of the subdivision as part of their subdivision fence. And on this side, there's going to be a wooden fence with masonry columns. Those aren't required by our code of ordinances, by the way. We do not require perimeter fences. So these were some of the agreements that we came into to agreement about regarding the plan development. So, you know, not that we exchanged it for smaller lots, but basically to help enhance the neighborhood and maybe contradict any negative aspects of having smaller lots. They did some enhancements to the subdivision, and those were some of those enhancements. They're also putting in larger trees. They're making sure that all of the houses or all of the faces of houses that front major streets are all brick facade. And what else were they doing? And yeah, so even in all four sides brick for houses that back up against major streets. So in other words, they asked for smaller lots, and in exchange, they did some things to improve the aesthetics of the neighborhood, and staff agreed with that. However, it was determined at a later time that one of our requirements is a sidewalk along Cedar Knob Road. And after discussions with the developer and after going out and looking at the site, it was determined that the sidewalk would be challenging because of topography. There is some hills, there's some drainage features that would make putting a sidewalk more difficult. But more importantly, because of the density of that subdivision, or just the development of that subdivision, it really has nothing to do with density per se. Because of the development of that subdivision, of the Evergreen subdivision immediately to the east, and the apartment complex immediately to the south, more than likely, we're going to have to widen Cedar Knob Road in the not-too-distant future. So we felt in agreement with the developer that putting a sidewalk along Cedar Knob at this point in time would be counterproductive, because we'd have to tear it out to put in the proper drainage and a wider road when we got around to that. So we are actually modifying the terms of the plan development to give them language saying that they don't have to put the sidewalk along Cedar Knob, and they are actually putting in an amenities center along Prospector, the proposed Prospector Trail. They're going to put a swimming pool and a trail system that crosses through the subdivision, kind of goes through this floodplain, and is going to connect to another amenity area on the south side of the subdivision. So there'll be a pool on the north side, and on this side probably a park of some kind. So we are going to bring that before you next month as the planned as a plan development rezone. So we're doing a rezone from PDR to PDR. We're just adding some conditions to it. But none of those new conditions necessarily affect the platting process. So because of that, we're still moving forward with the platting now, so that they can start on the continue with the platting process. But that's a little bit of the background of what's going on and why there was a rezoning sign in this photo. That being said, we did receive the preliminary plat for Tuscany Meadows Phase 2, and this is it, and it is being developed in phases because the middle section of the property is in the floodplain, and they are designing detention features in that floodplain. And per FEMA regulations, which are the stricter of the regulations, they have to do a LOMAR for that to happen. And as you all know, when you work with the federal government, it could take years to get this LOMAR completed. So we worked with the developer to develop this project in phases so that they can start on the parts that don't impact the floodplain, get their LOMAR taken care of, and then go in and finish the development. That being said, staff did have some comments for this preliminary plat, and we just today received the applicant's responses to those comments. We left those with you to review, and I guess I should ask you to do that during the break. I apologize for that, but I can tell you that staff has gone through the responses to our comments, and for the most part, they've been answered. The issue that we have today is that the city engineer, or our engineering consultant, hasn't had a chance to get us back his comments and see if they addressed all of his issues. So staff is amending its recommendation. On your packet, staff recommended approval. What we are amending is to request conditional approval of this plat pending the review of the public works director and the city engineer. And so what we are requesting of the Planning and Zoning Commission is to recommend conditional approval of this plat, and that all of these issues will be resolved before they go before the City Council in roughly 2 weeks. And staff firmly believes that we can resolve these issues. Most of the outstanding issues have been taken care of. There's just a few clarifications, and then we've got to confirm with the city engineer that his issues have been resolved. And so I would be happy to answer any questions you might have, and a representative for the applicant is here to answer any questions as well. Yes, sir. I appreciate that.
Okay. If you're not going to build a sidewalk on that Cedar Knob, is there a possibility that we could actually open up that Acock Road so that students who could ride bicycles to the high school could at least use that? I know we'd have to look at access on that road as far as crossing, what is that, 2410?
Right.
But that would probably take those two lots, but it gains another access without having to ever build a sidewalk on that side.
Okay, we've actually talked about that. There's a couple issues with that. Well, first of all, there will eventually be a sidewalk on Cedar Knob Road. That's part of our thoroughfare plan. Secondly, there are internal sidewalks, so students will be able to go through the subdivision, get onto Stillhouse Lake Road, and there's going to be a sidewalk on both sides once development starts happening. But we're actually going to put in a sidewalk on the western side as part of our sidewalk plan in the next year or two. Right, and I understand it, but I'm getting there. The other thing is we are actually requiring a sidewalk, a connection sidewalk, and this thing split up kind of weird. Basically, they've got an entrance to the south, well, okay, yeah, right here. All right, we are requiring a sidewalk to at least bridge the north and the south halves of the subdivision on the eastern side. So they're gonna put a sidewalk here, they're gonna have an access easement where the sidewalk's gonna come into there, and then they'll be able to take the internal sidewalk networks. So that's half of your question. The next half of your question has to do with the fact that we would have to acquire the property here to put a road through there. And that's not off the table, I'm just telling you that there's a challenge to that, for one. And for two, the way these lots are developed, and the engineer can probably get into this, we probably still have the option to do that. So it's not off the table, but it's not necessarily something that we would require at this point.
So the city doesn't owe that.
A right of way.
Okay.
That's a private road. The other issue we have has to do with 2410, and it has to do with the fact that we have no control over 2410. So what's going to happen is you open that up, and those kids are not going to walk all the way down to the corner and cross the street. They're going to cross the street right there and get hit by cars, because I think at that point the speed limit is, it's at least 45. It may already jump up to 50 at that point. So because we don't control TxDOT and we can't force them to put a light or a crosswalk there because it's their road, we would be, there would be some liability issues with basically making a path of destruction for those kids to go through there. So that's kind of where that stands. So there's a few obstacles for that, but we're not opposed to it. I don't think the developer is necessarily opposed to that, but at this time, like you said, I think it would cost them a couple of lots, and you know, big picture wise, it may turn out later that they can do that. The preliminary plat, again, is like I said before, kind of a rough draft. When the final plat comes through, we are allowed to have some differences between the final plat and the preliminary plat. I think the code actually puts it at 10%, but I don't know how you determine 10% of differences. But what that usually runs into is if you increase the number of lots by 10%, then it's got to come back to you. But in this particular case, if you decrease the number of lots, we can still do that between the preliminary and the final plat. So that option is still going to be on the table up until the mayor signs the final plat and we file it with the county. So that's still an option if it turns out like we get that land donated to us and you know we do something to kind of put that road in there and then we can work with TxDOT on putting a crosswalk. That's not off the table. But at this point in time, we have not addressed that.
I think there was actually a letter by Mr. Acock. Was it Mr. Acock?
Yes, I think that's Acock Boulevard.
He actually said he would love to see that, so I would think he'd be amenable to that.
And that's entirely true, but that's just another cog in this whole process that we just haven't gone down that road yet, I guess pun intended. But no, that's still, like I said, that's still on the table. It's just not a requirement. So we can't make the developer do that. He still has enough adequate egress and ingress points in this subdivision. But yeah, that's something that's, like I said, it's not off the table. Right, we're actually very excited about the amenities that they're proposing for this development. I think it's going to be a game changer.
I have a question or a recommendation. Consider an elevated walkway across 2410 from that housing area into Harker Heights High School. There are kids that walk across south or that the road. It's Vernalee and 2410 to Walmart. They eat and they lay there. Backpacks outside of it, and then they walk back. That's an area that's it's a accident-prone crossing, and there's going to be somebody else killed there. I would recommend an elevated walkway that way towards Walmart, as well as from the housing area to the high school. And that makes, you know, is it going to be expensive? It may be, but I think we ought to investigate it.
We'll look into that for sure. Okay. We do know that we improve the pedestrian safety when we widen that intersection. You would think counterintuitively, since we made it wider, they've got that much more to cross. But by eliminating that kind of turn lane where they kind of hide on that island, I think that's where somebody got hit before because they stick off the island. So by cleaning up that intersection, we have improved safety, but we are aware that we need to keep looking at that, and we will.
Get it
That's true, too.
I sat through three lights there one time trying to take a right. You can't take a right. There's so many kids going
across. And we've been working with KISD about that, and I believe that some of them have gotten jaywalking tickets, too, for not crossing at the intersections where they're supposed to. So it's a work in progress, and, you know, with anything else, they're going to listen as well as they're going to listen, and as soon as we leave, they're going to go back to doing what they do. But we are actually researching that. We're looking at whether or not people use those elevated crosswalks, because I'd hate to put one in and it turns out they just don't want to walk up the stairs and do it. But we are looking at that. And that... Right. And... Right, and believe it or not, that's where this kind of thing is going to come in handy, because as we've discussed many a time, TxDOT is a reactive entity. They're not going to proactively change the speed limits without good cause, but once they see all this development here, we'll start to see some reaction. I mean, they already did. They already lowered the speed limit to 45 all the way up to Tuscany Meadows Phase 1, and that was a direct result of us asking them to go back and look at it. Because of the growth. So there's no doubt in my mind that when this development starts to happen, and of course when the apartment complex is completed, we would be warranted and justified in asking them to look at it again, and it may result in a, you know, downshifting the speed again. So, but again, we've got to build it first for them to react to that. We're probably going to have to eat that. And again, that would be included in any kind of road project. But I will tell you that that size of road would more than likely qualify for some grants. So I guarantee you that if there is a grant available, we're going to go for it. It just depends on how competitive that is. But with the access to the school and the subdivision being there, like right now, we wouldn't get any points for that because it's a sidewalk nowhere. But once all this is developed, that would help our chances. So, I mean, I guarantee you we will look at alternative funding mechanisms, but no, we're not going to, we won't be able to hold them accountable for that and make them set aside a letter of credit or something. Oh, Mark wants to clarify.
Could I mention one other thing? On Cedar Knob Road, because of the topography, chances are we would have to tear that sidewalk right back out again when we improve the road. So we felt... that we could compromise there and get some other things and then deal with the sidewalk after the road is improved.
Well, yeah, I heard that, but concrete is a whole lot more expensive
than that. I said we did negotiate some other things in exchange for leaving that sidewalk out.
But and more importantly, we haven't had an engineer look at this yet. It may turn out that we may never be able to put a sidewalk there. We just did the Comanche Gap widening, and we couldn't put a sidewalk on both sides of that because of the technical difficulties. I mean, I guess we could if we had infinite money, but, I mean, you see what I'm saying. So the point is that without engineering, we couldn't, one, guarantee that there would be a sidewalk there if we went back and put one in, and two, we couldn't tell the developer how much money to bank away for that without doing the proper engineering. So we wouldn't be able to, even if we wanted to or could require it, we pragmatically couldn't say, well, we're projecting it's going to cost $500,000, so just go ahead and give us a letter of credit for that for 10 years or whatever, because we don't know if that's going to cost that much. And I understand that, and like I said, those are just the, you know, those are the trade-offs that we look at, and so we city staff feel that the amenities they're putting into this development would offset that.
So will this be a problem for young adults to be walking to school or riding a bike to school?
What do you mean by this be a problem? The not having the sidewalk on that side? We don't really think so, because there's really nothing to draw the kids all the way up to 2410. So more than likely, they're going to cut through the subdivision, because where are the kids going to go? They're going to go to the high school, they're going to go to Walmart and whatever develops in that area. So they're going to cut through the subdivision anyway. They're not going to go all the way up to 2410 and then go westward or eastward from there. So that's why we felt like that was a reasonable thing. The kids that live in the Evergreen subdivision are going to come out right across the street. So again, the likelihood of them going all the way up here to 2410 versus cutting through here and then going to where everything is, it's more likely that that's going to happen.
Okay, so there is a wall around this whole thing.
Yes, there is a perimeter fence.
Okay. That it, Mr. Melise? That's all you have?
That's all I have, sir. Thank you.
Okay. Let's see, back here, see where I am. Okay. Do I have a motion?
Yeah. Hmm? Yeah. Anybody seeking for the request?
Yeah, we don't have a public hearing on this.
This one?
I don't believe.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
No, there's no public hearing. Webster.
I make a motion to conditionally approve preliminary plat for approximately 144.18 acres of land in Bell County, Texas, out of the Triangle Survey Act,
passes. Okay. Next item, citizens to be heard. Any citizens who wish to speak? I think we got enough tonight, didn't we? Okay, any staff comments? None? Okay. In that case, we will adjourn 8:30 p.m. See you next time.
Exactly 2 hours. Exactly. Yep. To the minute.
We get paid overtime for this, though, don't we?